going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
And he saw this figure, like, standing to the left side of the dumpster. This is the craziest story, guys. And as he's looking at this figure, he's like, what am I looking at? A nickel diamond? It can't be a Halloween costume, because I can see muscles and stuff. What is this suit? What is he wearing? Is it a big ape suit? It sounds like language, the way that you can hear them shouting back and forth and sort of talking. And there's, it's almost like, they call it samurai chatter. Hello and welcome to another edition of Supernatural Station. I'm your host, Roman Daniels, and again, joined with me is my secondary host, Jaron Daniels.
What day is it today?
It's Friday, TJIF. We've been waiting for this day. We can relax a little bit, had a nice busy work week, but now it's time to unwind.
Yay, I'm so happy. Friday.
So do you know what we're talking about today?
It's one of my favorite subjects, to be honest. I am very excited for this. I've been wanting to talk about this ever since we started this dang podcast, and here we are at the big supreme cryptid that is mean fight machine. No, I don't know. He seems like he's pretty cool most of the time, but who is it?
Yeah, sometimes they describe him as the forest giant, the loving forest giant, right?
The watcher
the hairy
of the
man, Bigfoot. So we're talking about probably one of the most famous cryptids that exists, and it's one of the most gripping topics. It's one of those topics that everybody's, for the most part, is very into. And, you know, it's one of those weird mysteries that we're dealing with because there's so many sightings coming out pretty much every state, every country. And so we know that there's something going on, but it's like, what is this thing?
Yeah, if you look at like a map, a Google map that shows all the sightings here in the U.S., just in the U.S. alone. I know there's Yeti and there's different ones in China and different things like that. I mean, it's all over the world. That's another thing to be aware of, is that it's not just here. It's not just a phenomenon in the U.S.
I know, and I feel like they always say it's like just a Pacific Northwest, you know, just the United States. It's like, no, not at all. It's, you know, you got the Yeren, like you said, in China, Yowie in Australia, and there's so many different names. And plus, every Native American culture that exists here in America pretty much has stories of the cannibal giants or the forest giants that protect us, or a lot of actually negative ones that are like, hey, stay away from these things. They can't be trusted.
Okay, Roman, so because this is one of our favorite topics, how about we just kind of describe what the usual sighting is of a Bigfoot? I mean, let's just describe what they look like. I mean, to most people.
Yeah, I would say that the majority of what you see is, and it does depend on region, especially here in the United States. You know, if you're up here in the Pacific Northwest area, if you're a little bit more north, or you know, Utah, Colorado, Arizona, the Rocky kind of area, yeah, California, you know, Washington, Oregon, those kind of areas. What you get is you get something that's much taller. You're getting somewhere between like 6 feet tall to 12 feet tall, you know, somewhere in that range. And I think the 12 feet talls, if you ever get those, it's probably a male, you know, like some dominant
alpha
male.
Yeah, big beast.
Yeah, but so up here you get these really tall things and I think what people are describing is sort of like almost like a hybrid between some kind of an ape and some kind of an ancient human, or some kind of hybrid there. But you get these, you know,
descriptions of built like a fridge, built like a Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, muscles like crazy. You got this 4 feet, 4 foot shoulder to shoulder width, 5 feet sometimes, just massive. If you can imagine that.
I mean, no neck, you get a no neck. And a lot of this, like, they don't have an actual protruded neck. It's more of like just big deltoids, you know, deltoids, massive deltoids.
What those are called. Yeah.
And then you get, I mean, I hit the gym every once in a while, but I ain't no dang Bigfoot. I mean, these guys are crazy. They're so huge. They are built like athletes, like Roman was saying, built like Arnold Schwarzenegger. But the ones up here on the Pacific Northwest, they are so big, and they're usually a darker color.
Yeah.
Like Roman said, they're about 4 feet width. So just massive monsters. And I can't imagine.
If it's the males, you know, they always say that they're sort of like broad shoulders, tapered at the waist, just like a T shape, kind of like a big bodybuilder, right? But if it's like, you know, we're going to talk about Patterson-Gimlin, Patty, you know, as they say. We're going to dive into that pretty soon. But Patty was a female, and it was obvious just seeing her walk on the film because she has breasts and stuff like that. And
she had the big females, old hips too.
Yeah, the females are not as bodybuilder. They kind of look more, you know, they have just a little bit more meat on them as kind of the way it looks. And that's what a lot of these descriptions come out, you know, big black eyes. A lot of eyewitnesses say that they have just solid black, almost no whites in their eyes, kind of like horse eyes is what they
say. Which to me, every time I hear that, that really scares me. I'm like, I can't imagine walking through a forest and seeing this big creature that's already 9 to 12 feet tall. And I compare the height to somebody I see playing basketball all the time that I really like, Rudy Gobert, because we're Jazz people here. Rudy Gobert's 7'1",
which is nothing.
And he looks massive.
Okay, so take the 10-foot basketball hoop, right? The basketball hoop is 10 feet at standard. That's about how tall a Bigfoot would be. Now look at a basketball hoop. If next time you're outside, go to a standard basketball hoop, or if you're inside of a gym, and just you can really envision.
Then see a 4 foot wide shoulder length and huge chest. See them looking down at you with these horse eyes. I'm like, there is no way. I would just probably fall down, start peeing myself, and just let them take me, whatever they're going to do.
Yeah, I would just, you lose all bodily function. I mean, the thing is just, so that's the thing. A lot of people say that, you know, humans are the biggest predator that's out there, and I just don't buy it. After these stories that come out, I don't buy it.
They're the biggest predator out there based off of history books right now, with the government hiding this situation, whatever it might be. I mean, we don't know exactly what's going on here, but we definitely know something's going on.
Exactly.
And it's definitely predatorial.
All right, so that just about covers kind of the description of what is usually seen in the Northwest, but what do you get, like, down south?
Down south, you get the, like, the Texas-style Bigfoot, right? Or the Oklahoma, Arkansas, that kind of thing. It's typically a slightly smaller version of a Bigfoot, but very, very aggressive. The one that you hear up north, the one we were just talking about, it tends to run away from you, or it kind of challenges you quickly and then runs away. It just stays away from humans in most cases. But the Texas one, or the Oklahoma, this one is a smaller version that has more red fur. It's a more reddish colored fur based on most of the sightings.
Yeah.
And the scary thing is it's longer fur, and they have more aggressive nature. They come after you all the time.
Yeah, and I just wonder if, like, that has something to do with the type of animals that are out there, like maybe the ecosystem. I don't really understand, or maybe it's just a DNA thing or something, but it's right. They are very more, they remind me more of, like, Wolverine from Marvel, you know? Like, they have that rage mode.
They're more mangy.
More kind of like badgers and stuff, where they just get aggressive instantly because they're a little smaller, and maybe they have to do more to defend.
You know what it could be? It could be that they are going against boar, which are super aggressive. They're going against all these things, and they're dealing with heat and humidity. And I know both of us, Rome, we have long hair. For men, we have longer hair than most. It's almost shoulder length. And you have to put your hair up everywhere you go. If it gets hot at all, you have to put your hair up. So if they have longer hair than some of the stuff in the Northwest, they're probably just so aggressive because they're so bitter that they're so hot all the time. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, and it's like Florida too, the skunk ape, right? And a lot of times, I think the smells, you know, there's this description of the smell with Bigfoot, which is sort of described as like a rotten meat, maybe a BO, body odor kind of smell, a little bit of a skunk smell too, which is the name skunk ape and where that comes from. But I think that maybe down south, it's just so much hotter, you know, you're closer to the equator and stuff. And so, you know, you're sweating, especially if you have all that hair, like you're saying, you're sweating a lot more. And it just makes sense that there's going to be more of a body odor. But there's another theory I've heard about the body odor, which we should bring up. I guess we should just cover it right now.
You read my mind, but keep going.
Okay. So I heard one theory recently about, and I forget what podcast it was on. Do you remember?
It was on the Confessionals, I think.
Confessionals. You should definitely check out the Confessionals. We're always about plugs. If you want another really good paranormal podcast or supernatural podcast, definitely check out Tony's podcast, Tony Merkel. He runs a great show over there. But basically, the one of the theories from one of the people he had on was talking about how he believes that it's the females that are
putting out a smell to throw off predators so that they can protect their young. Something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like such a strong smell that it kind of masks everything around. So if you're trying to hide your scent and you are partly animal, that's what they do, right? They use their scent for a lot of their power with certain situations. So that totally makes sense to me.
Right, and the description of the smell, a lot of time it's like almost like a wall where you basically can walk right into it and then it goes away kind of thing. So it's almost like in one place and it doesn't dissipate, it's just there, you know, which would make sense. It's like they can kind of project it into a certain spot.
They're spraying their own Febreze, if you will, at
right.
one direction.
And throw that direction off of the kids so they can keep their kids safe and healthy, right?
Well, let me ask you this real quick. We've talked about the scent. We've talked about the Texas and Oklahoma down south type vibe. What other Bigfoots have we talked about or heard of that are slightly different? I mean, different explanations, different...
Well, before we go over there, I do want to say one thing about Oklahoma, because you brought up Oklahoma. I would say that some of the biggest hot spots, especially in those areas, Oklahoma, you've got Kentucky, Arkansas, you know, the Falk Monster in Arkansas. But I want to bring up Oklahoma because they're one of the only governmental bodies that has introduced a bill recently, not too long ago, right, about hunting Bigfoots and that there'd be a big reward. So
what?
Did you hear about that?
No.
Yeah, there was an actual congressional leader out from Oklahoma that put a bill in for hunters that if they bring bodies in, they'll get some extra reward.
So either there's a huge problem with them that they're willing to expose it now, or they see that people are starting to open up. I mean, look at the UFO thing that just got exposed, and they're saying, yeah, these things are real, they're not our government, blah, 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 which who knows what the purpose is behind that. But I mean, I think a lot of people are just opening up to this stuff. We kind of want to know where our history comes from. We're not as scared as, I guess not scared, as scared is not a right word, but we're not as naive. We want to know.
Right.
We're exposing everything in the world right now.
Yeah, no, I think there's a shift happening mentally that people are getting to be more open. The openness is getting bigger. But yeah, as far as your question about back east, one of the differences that you find about back east versus, let's say, Pacific Northwest area, Northwest area with Bigfoots, the Northwest area, a lot of times they describe more of like a apish kind of look, right? They have more of the patty, like you've seen Patterson-Gimlin. We're going to talk about that again. Very gorilla kind of looking, a little bit more. I mean, you can see some human features, but more gorilla looking. Whereas in back east, like New York and those areas, you know, a little bit more back east, they have a Neanderthal type of look. More human, a lot more humanistic.
They have more like human top hair. They have more human features in the face. They look more human. They act more human even. Like the way they move their arms around and stuff, it's a little bit more humanistic. There was a story of one guy that was a trucker that walked out on the highway and he could see something kind of like pushing something in the river, and he was like, what is that? And he kind of looked at it a little bit longer. Nobody was on this road. It was a smaller road, trucker type road, and he saw this thing, and it finally looked over at him after it was messing with this thing, and it looked like it was a deer or something that it was washing in the river.
I think it was a goat
that it was washing in the river. But when it looked at him, it was just this, like, he's like, I saw a human, but not. It was the scariest thing.
Like,
it was
like an ancient human, right, with the bigger brow,
the big brow.
Yep. You know, more the Neanderthal appearance, but, you know, still tall, big. I mean, they're definitely not as big as the Northwest. And I think part of that is I forget what the law is called, but there's a scientific law of what makes animals bigger when you go more north, and it has something to do with keeping body heat inside your body. So that's why you find bigger. It's because you're trying to spread that body heat into a bit larger
area.
Probably
being able to outlast a meal longer too.
Right. Yeah. So like, that's why, you know, moose and elk and deer and pretty much every animal that exists is bigger up north, and that's the reason for it.
Kodiak bears are huge compared to the smaller bears down in like California, you
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah, but back east, they're still pretty big. I mean, you're still getting stories of 7-8 feet tall, you know, that kind of stuff, but they're ancient human looking, where they, you know, have almost less body hair, less apish,
more slim.
Features, slimmer. You also get the weird chimpanzee ones too that come back east that are described as almost like a more skinny, athletic build, kind of like Gobert, like you were talking about, more lanky, skinny, but very kind of chimpanzee looking features, which makes me wonder, are there different types? You know, are there different strains? Like, are there ones that are more related to the ape and more others that are more related to the human strains?
I mean, look at me and you, Rome, we're twins, right? And being that we're twins, we have a lot of same features. We're identical twins, which is even more strong than most fraternal twins with that situation. But I mean, even with us two being twins, there's still a lot of differences. Like, I'm a little bit heavier set. I have a little bit more of my
you know, dad's features in some way, you have more of mom's features in some way, or vice versa. And so if we compare that to like two parents having a baby and then so on and so forth of these Bigfoots, there could be a strain that grows based on hereditary situations in that area.
Right. And I've heard several stories, especially ones that are more back east, where there was one on Wes's show, Sasquatch Chronicles, where the guy that witnessed Bigfoots, this was a crazy, crazy show. I forget the episode, but he talked about how there was this younger female Sasquatch that he had witnessed. And the way he described it is he said she was just beautiful, beautiful specimen, right? Looked more human, just the way her body was, like her, you know, features and stuff. He's like, it almost looked like a Native American person, like a very beautiful Native American person. It's funny because a lot of these Native American stories for the hairy man, for these creatures, they just call them people. A lot of them call them the night people, or they call them another tribe, you know? And so it makes me wonder. I feel like these ancient cultures have more knowledge than we do about a lot of things. And so they're trying to tell us something. Are they people? Maybe. Are they some kind of a tribe that's lost? Maybe. Who knows, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting.
I mean, those natives, the certain ones, especially on the east side, have said that they've traded periodically with these.
Right, like food and these other
Sasquatch
things.
And said they were another tribe. Exactly. So they trade with them, which is, I mean, that's a huge respect. It's saying, hey, we're both different tribes, and they believe that. And how are they able to communicate that way? So there's something there.
There's something there, and I don't think that they have our same language. we actually, we'll play a few of Ron Moorhead's sounds. So anybody who is not familiar with the
Sierra sounds?
Sierra sounds. Ron Moorhead, yeah. So this was from the 70s, and Ron Moorhead got these sounds. It sounds like a language, the way that you can hear them shouting back and forth and sort of talking, and there's, it's almost like they call it samurai chatter, you know, where
kind of sounds like Japanese,
sounds like Japanese, or they say sometimes Russian. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so you can tell there's a real language there. And a lot of, there was actually one, I forget the person's name, but there was a language, CIA, FBI kind of guy who was a language dialect guy, and he listened to these sounds. He said, yeah, there's real language there. You
yeah,
know,
he
I
can hear those
repeats.
He could hear the repeats and connections with certain linguistics. Like, he follows that with any type of language,
right?
Even the languages of cultures that don't have a lot of human contact, like maybe the tribes in Africa,
Amazon
and stuff.
Ones and stuff too. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, this is crazy stuff.
Yeah, but so they don't, it doesn't sound like they speak English, but with the trading thing that you brought up, I think there's a lot of mind speak that happens with these things. And I think that's one of the things that science is trying to either hide, or a lot of these Bigfoot investigators, they try to go away from some of the things they consider woo-woo, you know, weird things. And we'll talk more about those too. But one thing that I think happens a lot with a lot of these experiences is people have what they consider mind speak, where it's like, I know it told me this, or I know it said this to me, but it didn't hear it with my ears. It was like in my mind. And so maybe that's how they communicated, especially with these trade deals and stuff.
All right, so the subject here gets us motivated, gets us excited. There's so much to uncover with Bigfoot, so you'll hear us do that a little bit, where we just get into all the features and stuff. And I know we were talking about that, it's great, but I wanted to get into a really cool story that I heard, not story, a really cool eyewitness account that happened to me, not to me directly, but a coworker of mine. His name was Brent, and he doesn't mind me telling this. He says, I'll tell it to anyone that asks me. I shout it to the rooftops because I'm not ashamed of it. And he was never the guy that believed in Bigfoot before this, by the way. So he said it was the craziest thing that ever happened to him, but it was so intriguing. And now he started listening to Sasquatch Chronicles and different things after that, just to get an idea of what he saw. Very similar to a lot of encounters, right? But what happened is he was basically getting ready for a Thanksgiving dinner with his wife's family. This is here in Utah, so there's definitely some sightings here in Utah. You can look up some videos online too of different sightings that are really pretty credible, I think. But He was over in, like...
By the way, this was Provo Canyon, right? So it's actually the same area where a lot of these videos are actually coming out of Utah. There must be a big population in that area.
Yeah, and Brent said he grew up in that area growing up, and he used to go hiking up Provo Canyon, and there's a spot that you get up towards Timpanogos Cave that's called Ape Canyon, believe it or not. So they call it Ape Canyon from an old story that there used to be apes up there. And so, hey, there you go. There's a little link right there. But he was hanging out with his kids. I know he had like a 2-year-old at the time. I think it was a 6-year-old and like a 12-year-old. And they were waiting for Thanksgiving dinner. He doesn't really get along with his wife's parents super well. So he was just like, I'm going to go have some fun while you take the kids, go to the park while you guys are cooking and things like that. So when he did that, they drove up. It's in the winter, right? It's already snowy a little bit. There's some snow on the hills and snow on the mountainside and stuff like that. We get a lot of snow in Utah. So he gets up to that park. It's called Rock Canyon Park. If ever you guys want to go check it out and kind of cross-reference the story, definitely go for it. I mean, I did it myself when he told me this story. So he goes over there. It's around November 17th.
By the way, I will say, Jaren and I both went up there, and when we did go up there, it was actually a beautiful spot. We actually encountered two large bighorn sheep that were literally just up a trail that we were hiking, and we come around a corner and they're right there, and I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. It's wild, you know, and that's a food source for these things.
And there is signs in that canyon that I've never seen before. We live in Utah. We go hiking all the time, and no other canyon says this, but it says, do not enter preserving native habitat or something like that.
Right, yeah.
And I'm like, what does that mean? So I'm like, are they hiding something here and they just don't want people to enter certain parts of this canyon because of that? It definitely feels more wild, if that makes sense. But basically, we're, you know, Brent, my coworker, was with his family. It was like November 23rd. They're just hanging out. It's a winter day. And it was like around 3:30, 4 o'clock. So they go to the park, PM, and the park has a lot of college students from BYU that hang out there. And so they were sledding down this, or ice blocking is what you call it, down this hill. And so as they were ice blocking down this hill, Brent and his kids were watching it and having a good time, and they were hanging out at the park. And as they were doing that, they lost track of time, and his wife called them, and it was probably like almost 6:30 at night. And she's like, where are you guys? It's dinner. What's going on? He's like, oh, I'm so sorry, honey. I'll be there real quick.
By the way, you said this was Thanksgiving, right?
It was close to Thanksgiving. Okay, it was like the 23rd.
It's about the same time as what we're dealing with right now.
Exactly. What the heck? I didn't even think about that.
Kind of a synchronicity there, so I just wanted to put that out there.
And this was probably like 2014, by the way. So it's been a little bit, 2015. Not too long, I guess. But he tells his wife, okay, well, I'll get the kids back. We'll go over there. We're excited to eat, whatever. And so as he's getting his kids ready, and the college kids are still ice blocking and having fun, and it's not completely dark yet. It was almost like there was some street lights, and then there was like a little bit of light from the sunset. So he's walking over to his car, not too far from that hill where they're ice blocking. And as he gets his 2-year-old in the back seat, which is directly behind his driver's seat, he shuts the door. And when he shuts the door, the other kids are in the car already. When he shuts the door, he, you know, steps up, looks out. And when he looks out, he just kind of, right where his eyes meet, where he's looking, there's a dumpster, like a big green dumpster. And he saw this figure, like, standing to the left side of the dumpster. This is the craziest story, you guys. And as he's looking at this figure, he's like, what am I looking at? And he could see it really clear. It was probably 20 feet from him. And he's like, what the heck is this thing? And as he's looking at it, he says, that must be like a guy in a Halloween costume. And it hasn't been too far from Halloween, but why is some guy wearing a Halloween costume? Why is he hiding by a dumpster? Right? Isn't that weird? So then he's like, what is this? And he's like, it looks like a geek. He describes it like a geek. It looks like a geek that's watching these ice blockers and he can't go have fun with them. So he's like hiding out watching them. And as he's looking at this guy,
that's weird that he said that. I wonder, like, I like those things that these eyewitnesses say that are strange. Like, they'll say, you know, it looked like a cartoon character come to life, mm-hmm. you know, like, where it's very cartoony, or it looks like, you said, like a geek.
Well, like, the reason what does that mean it looks exactly, like a geek, you know? Is he's like, I just got this feeling like he's alone or he's by himself. And then he said also, like, his movements were super weird. And I'll describe that in just a sec. But this being, this creature, he's like, it can't be a Halloween costume because I can see muscles and stuff. What is this suit? What is he wearing? Is it a big ape suit? And as he's looking at it, he's like, no, there's muscles and everything. This body is huge. He's like, it has to be two people standing side to side in the same suit moving it simultaneously. Like, that was the weirdest thing to him.
Wow, yeah.
With just one head popping out. And he's like, this is not a suit. And he started getting a little bit weirded out. As he's still looking at this creature, he says it's moving from left to right and like bobbing up and down, looking at these ice blocking kids going down the hill. So he's basically watching these kids, which is terrifying in itself to me. And as he's watching them, he's like, it's moving like a cartoon character, like you said, Roman.
Yeah.
It's moving so fast.
You hear that a lot.
If you've ever sped up a video to 1.5 speed, that's what this thing is doing. It's moving like that, like super quick, up and down, bob and weave, bob and weave. And the reason it's bobbing is it's trying to see a better vantage point of these kids going down this hill. But it's crouched down, and it's kind of like looking at them, right? And so as he's seeing all this, and he's like, what am I looking at? This creature looks at him. And when it looks at him, he said, it had the same thing, black eyes that looked humanish, but black, big body, he said, same thing, about 4 feet wide from shoulder to shoulder, which
built
is
like a
huge.
Yeah,
he's like, this thing was the most athletic thing I've ever seen. He's like, but the funniest thing that kind of, he's like, I actually laughed out loud just a little bit because I still didn't know what I was looking at. And he said, I was laughing because there was like this bald head at the top with a little mullet. He's like, that was the funniest part, is that these creatures don't have the same hair all the time. It's almost like that. He said this was an older Bigfoot. Because you could see that it was losing its hair at the
top.
It's
like it lost its hair on the top. But, you know, when a lot of these, like, human people, right, us, we lose our hair, a lot of us men. And a lot of times you lose it on the top, but the back still kind of grows.
Yeah.
And that, if so you don't have a hair cutter, you know, you're going to grow it out like a mullet in the back.
So he was BYU business in the front and partying in the back. In the back was the mountainside, so who knows what's going on back there. But no, he was basically just like, he kind of laughed to himself. And then he's like, wait, why am I laughing? This thing's looking right at me. And he got really scared,
like,
he's again.
He's in danger at this point.
And He said he felt the mind speak that Roman's saying. He felt this thing say, I see you. Because the thing was looking at him like this. It was looking, and I know you can't see me in this audio, but it was looking at him like, I see you. I know you're there. No big thing. Just don't worry about me and I won't worry about you. It was kind of like, do your thing. I'm not going to attack you, but don't get closer kind of thing.
You and I have an understanding.
It was that sort of thing. It was like, I see you there. I see you got your family. There ain't no problem here. But then it was weird because when Brent kept looking at this creature, it like looked at him one more time because he wasn't moving too quick. And it just took one big step, stood up, took one big step, and went to the other side of the dumpster. It was just one step. And it was so fluid. And when he stood up, he said, I kid you not, Jaren. He's like, I kid you not. This Bigfoot, when it stood up on its feet, was 8 to 9 feet tall, at least.
Wow.
He said its abdomen, like it's where its belly button should be. He's like, I could see a full chest. Like it was a man, because you could tell it had like the athletic man chest and the man abs and stuff. It was really athletic for its age. And he said, but the shoulders were huge. He's like, it was literally, if you look at that dumpster, if you guys go see that dumpster,
Which we did, by the way.
That dumpster is like 6 feet at the top. So, and if you could see its belly button, I would almost say that thing's 10.5 feet tall.
I know.
And it took one step and dipped down on the other side of the dumpster. Almost like, I don't want you to watch me anymore. I'm just going to hide on this other side. But it didn't run away. It kept watching these kids. Isn't that the weirdest thing?
It's so strange. But, you know, a lot of encounters are like that. Like, you know, there'll be kids that are like, oh, I see these beings outside my window. And, you know, it's because they have their TV on. And, like, all of a sudden there's this creature, like, watching through the window at the TV. It's like, these things don't have a lot of entertainment or something. And it's like anything that we are doing, they might find fascinating, like the ice block thing. I mean, if you think about it, if you didn't know what we're doing, that looks interesting.
Fun.
It looks weird, you know? It's like, oh, well, you can tell it's ice. It's like, wow, this is crazy. And then maybe that, you know what's funny about it is maybe that thing will go to its family and be like, hey, I learned something fun that we can do. Let's get some ice and let's go down a hill, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really interesting.
I guarantee he like grabbed one of the younger Bigfoot and just kind of hucked him off a cliff, like off a hill, and said, you'll be fine. It's so scary. But, you guys, it was a crazy experience, and he does not deny 1 ounce of it. And he said, when I saw that thing, I just got in the car after that, after we had that understanding that he spoke into my mind. He's like, I don't want to say he spoke it into my mind, but I could just tell he was saying that. And when I got in the car, I just drove away, and he was just still there. I could have stayed and tried to get a picture, but I just didn't want to push it, he said.
You know what I wonder, too? Like, people that are well-versed in, like, let's say hunters, people that are really good with the woods and stuff, there's a certain thing that animals do that they use body language a lot for everything, right? And I wonder if a lot of this mind speak stuff may not actually be mind speak, but it's a body language thing. Like, maybe they're experts at body language, like where it's like he thought that that's what the thing was saying because of the way the thing was holding its body. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think when you're in a survival situation in the woods, you have to, for an example, if you see a bear, you can't look at it in the eyes. If you do, that's a challenge to the bear, right? And so a lot of what you do with your body matters, and it's because animals don't speak to each other, right? They're not using words like we do. And so I just wonder if maybe we understand that as mind speak, but and maybe it is mind speak, but what if it's just a higher level of body language, you know?
Yeah, it's like those videos I watch on YouTube all the time. Don't hate on me, guys. I mean, this is just something I like to do sometimes, but I watch those videos about charisma on command and stuff, and one of them was body language and how your body language relates to other people. Like if you're trying to get a date or if you're trying to have an influence at your job, there is stuff you can do that make you seem more likable or more unlikable.
They say body language is like 65% of interaction. It's huge. It's like,
so
more
think
than
about
half
that, 65% interaction, and then you meet them, and then the first 2 minutes they judge you.
But wow, that's a really crazy story. I was like, because you told me that a while back, and I was like, wow, we got to tell this on the podcast because it's such an interesting story. Plus, it comes from a credible source. Do you remember what color the creature was? Like,
yeah.
Did he say it all?
Yep. So Rock Canyon, this is the craziest part too, real quick. So Rock Canyon has these big gray rocks on the side of the mountain. They're like dark gray, which
is the Rocky Mountains. It's very rocky, so a lot of the exposed nature there is rock.
Yeah, so it's big protruded rocks, and then there's trees and stuff, and it's really beautiful, you guys. I mean, Utah's gorgeous, but gray rocks, right? And the way he described this Bigfoot would hide so perfect right here, it would hide with those bighorn sheep that we stumbled upon because they had the same color too.
Right.
But basically, he had a gray chest, dark gray to match those rocks. Then his upper shoulders, arms, down to his legs and everything else was like almost black. It was so dark brown that it almost looked black. But he said it was dark brown. I gotta say it was dark brown, but it almost looked black. And then he said the eyes were like horse eyes with just a little bit of white on the sides. Like, so it looked cartoonish. I think that's where the cartoonish thing comes
from. Yeah, it must be.
Because it's big dilated
eyes. It's like googly eyes. Almost like little puppet type thing. Yeah. Strange.
Like cartoon cat or something.
Yeah.
And so he has that. And then he has he said, it wasn't an ape nose. He said he had a human nose.
They always say it's hooded like a human.
Yeah, so it was hooded, and he said it was as wide. He's like, imagine like somebody, he was trying to describe somebody, and there's not a lot of people you can describe that look like that, but it's like double the size of our shaft of our nose, and then it just drops, so it doesn't look like an ape. Just too,
you don't see the exposed nostrils like crazy. It's more of like a real nose, right?
Yep. And then
not
it had
just like a gorilla.
Yeah. And then I asked him, because we do a lot of research, I'm like, what did the mouth look like? He said the mouth went from like almost ear to ear, and it was closed. He wasn't smiling. He wasn't doing anything specific. He was just looking at him, but it was just a slit.
So I've heard these stories, and this comes up time and time again. It's the slit that goes from ear to ear, like he's saying, where there's not a lot of lip that you can see. And there's been eyewitness accounts that I've heard where they can put a whole entire apple in their mouth like nothing and chew it up like a huge apple, or like even a grapefruit, you know, like where it's like these are big jaws, big wide open mouth, like almost like a puppet. It's really
strange.
Yeah,
imagine like you know how hippos can just crush a watermelon
exactly.
with just one bite?
Just like that. Yeah.
It's something like that.
Yep.
But that's the thing. I mean, dark fur, gray skin to match the mountainside. You could hide up there. And when people say, how does something that's 9 foot tall hide in those mountains? Good question. I wonder the same thing. But those colors definitely give them a huge advantage.
Yeah.
And if they're the best hiders in the world, which they are, you know.
Well, look, I mean, it was only him that supposedly saw the thing. I mean, maybe somebody else saw it, but who knows? Like, I mean, that thing was huge. And if it was 10 feet tall, it was behind that dumpster. It's just amazing that he was the only one that saw it. And
it seemed very nonchalant. Like, it didn't care if anybody saw him. So
you know,
I don't think anybody else saw him, to be honest.
You know what I find so awesome about that encounter is I think I just love the balded head with the
mullet hair.
Mullet in the back. It's just funny. Yeah, it is funny. I would laugh a little bit too, but it's so realistic though. Like, those are features. So those are the things with these kind of encounters that I really like to pay attention to is like, you know, anybody that's pulling your leg could say, oh, it looked like a gorilla or somebody in an ape suit. They don't give you these kind of details where it's like it was gray in color. It had like the weird mullet thing. That's not something you just come up with in your head. So
and being that we're
that's
like
credible.
Yeah. Being that we're the research, the people we are, you know, especially with this podcast and stuff, I asked him another time. It was like 2.5-3 weeks later to kind of describe it again. It was word for word exactly the same. So he has never changed his story.
It's amazing. Hey, we're going to take a quick little break. We'll be right back. We're back. I did want to say a couple more things about behavior that's really strange that you hear time and time again. One of the things with these things, these creatures, is a lot of people will see them swaying back and forth, right? Like they'll be like, yeah, this thing was looking at me, and you know, it's almost like it was trying to assess the situation, but what it was doing is it's swaying back and forth, right? Which is weird because you talk to experts like Jane Goodall, right, on especially ape behavior. They do that. Apes, when they're uncomfortable, When they're nervous of a situation, they'll sway back and forth.
Just move back and forth.
So it makes me wonder.
Side to side, right?
Yeah. So it makes me think that there is some ape nature to these things, that they might be related to apes in some way. But there's so much more to it that it's like, I don't know if they're apes, right? But they do the swaying. And then there's another thing that you hear time and time again, which is the grinning face.
Ooh.
Where you can see full teeth, right? One thing with animals is it's actually a sign of aggression if you show teeth. And that's exactly what apes do.
Yeah, us as humans, we're sitting there smiling at people, and that means it's a nice thing. Like, hey, nice to meet you, wave, smile.
Right.
Don't do that to animals, especially apes. It's an opposite
effect, yeah. Especially, so Jane Goodall, when she was studying the apes and stuff, one thing she learned pretty quick is you don't smile. Smile is like a threat, you know? It's like, because you're showing your teeth.
Challenge?
Yeah, exactly. It's like a war thing. It's like, hey, look, I have these sharp teeth. So, but a lot of people will see them swaying with their teeth showing, smile, which means they're either uncomfortable, stressed out, or they're going to fight.
Just a real quick story that happened. It was, I think, again, Sasquatch Chronicles. It'll be super quick here, but the dude was hiding in a tree blind, up on like a 10-foot tree blind or something. And it was winter season, and this Bigfoot comes out of nowhere. And this is super quick, okay? But a male Bigfoot comes out of nowhere, sits down in the grass.
Oh, I remember
this
one.
He's messing with something, and this hunter tries to get its attention. He's like, what am I looking at? So he tries to get its attention, and the Bigfoot looks over, but because he makes a sound, the hunter does, and the Bigfoot looks over, and he can't find him, which is the weirdest thing, because I've never heard this, except for this story, that somebody hid from Bigfoot. For once in of all existence, I feel like a human hid from a Bigfoot. The Bigfoot was looking for him, couldn't find him, but he finally found him after the second knock that the dude did. And when he saw him, when the actual Bigfoot saw this guy in the tree, he smiled. He did the big smile and the sway. It's the same thing. It's like, I'm nervous you're here. I'll fight you if you get closer. Right. What are you doing in my spot? You know, maybe he knew that he was hunting and that's like his hunting ground. Something weird, you know?
But I will say the vast majority of these kind of eyewitness accounts end with, I mean, obviously we're getting the accounts, so the people are fine. They don't die, right? Vast majority. You know, a lot of these encounters happen where it's like they see him from a car on the road and they just walk by, kind of like you'd see a deer walk by, you know, on the side of the road or something. So those are the kind of encounters you want. But there are the missing 411 questions coming on. So you don't know if these things are killing humans and taking them when they, you know, there's certain animals that eat based on what's easy, you know? Yeah. And so like if there's
like a scavenger,
right, like a scavenger, if there's like a human who is like a small, like this is sad, a small child, mm-hmm. or somebody who, you know, isn't really able, they'll pick those ones out of the crew and take them out, you know? And that's what happens with 411 a lot of times.
But I will say that a lot of the missing 411 cases, if it is a child, a lot of the time it's found healthy, happy.
True.
And when it is found, it says, the bear took care of me.
Yeah.
Is up with that? A bear took care of me.
Time and time again. The bear or whatever it is, you know, the hairy creature.
And it's like a two-year-old kid that couldn't have crossed a couple barbed wire fences, a couple big swampy lands, and yet they did, and they look unscathed, and they say, a bear carried me and took care of me. Like, what is up with that?
Which I think is pretty interesting about these things. I mean, they're obviously way more intelligent than I think we tend to think sometimes, because it seems like they're living in sort of a, you know, kind of an old school way where they don't have a lot of technology and they're not, you know, they're very primitive kind of way.
Yep.
But you can tell they're very smart because of the way that they treat, you know, kids sometimes and
hey,
stuff.
It's after like, this world and how this world is, I wouldn't mind living that way.
Exactly.
Look at how crazy this civilized world is.
All right, well, I think it's time to dive into one more really well-known story. Some of you may have heard this story. Some of you may not have heard this story. Part of the reason we want to cover it is because it's, you know, there's a lot of things about this story that I find amazing, incredible. So we'll just kind of dive into it. But this happened on February 15th of 1982. So, you know, a little while ago, but not too long ago. And the thing about these stories is they continue to happen. Pretty much every day there's sightings. But this is one of the ones that was more famous, and there's a couple reasons why. There was a police officer, in his patrol car, and he was with his partner. And basically, his name's Dan Gordon, and he was online and just basically, you know, told his story and kind of became famous for it. Sadly, he's gone by now. He passed away recently. But basically, what happened was he was driving down a road with his partner, and they came around a corner. From left to right, there was this creature standing in the middle of the road. They were on Route 22 in Whitehall, New York. And they came around the corner, and there was this creature standing in the front of the road. And it took two steps and walked over the guardrail. You know, obviously caught them off guard because it was something that they would never forget, something they've never seen before. Basically, the officer, Dan Gordon, he looked at his partner and he said, that was a bear, wasn't it? And his partner looked at him and he said, you and I both know that wasn't no bear. And so basically he pulled the car over, screeched to a stop, pulled out his gun, made sure he was armed, got out of the car, started walking down where the side of the road was and started kind of looking where the thing went. And he could hear the brush moving, you know, the creature walking through the brush. And didn't see it anymore, but could kind of hear it retreating from him and kind of leaving the scene. The thing that I love about this story, I know it sounds pretty simple, but the thing that's so cool about this story is it's a police officer going on record, right? These people are trained, so not only just one officer, but two officers together, both on the scene and said the exact same story. And these people are trained in the art of, you know, observation. You know, that's what police officers are meant to do.
They're like the ultimate body language readers, the ultimate people readers. They can look at something. And I know people say it's profiling, which some of it could be, but I mean, it's one of those things where they're trained to do this. They know when a danger is coming. They know when somebody's looking a certain way. So they know that's not a dang bear. Come
on. And they don't know. One of the things is, like, when a police officer comes in contact with anybody in any situation, that's what they're already starting to do. They're starting to read it. It's like, hey, is this person showing signs of lying? Is this person trying to hide something?
Yep.
That's what they're meant to do. So if they're looking at something like, that was not a bear, you know damn well that wasn't a bear.
And you know they're trained that way so that they can be safe and they can live another day. I mean, they're trained to protect themselves and others around them in the neighborhood, right? So if they see something that's a threat, they have to size it up right away. And I mean, this guy, I think he might have been retired when he gave the story out online, but I don't think he was he?
He was. By the time he actually gave the story, he was retired, because I think makes he was sense. Worried about ridicule and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you can't lose your job over this in most cases, especially if you've been doing it 30-something years or whatever it might be. So
yeah, but one of the most famous Monster Quest episodes was this episode, and they actually interviewed him. So if you want to look that up, it's on YouTube. You can watch the whole episode there. But yeah, and then there's this other guy called Bill Bran, who is a Sasquatch researcher. He's been doing it for like 30-plus years, and he's in that same area, Whitehall. And
New York, huh?
Yeah, and he said it's such an important area because, you know, one of the cool things about it is, you know, it's wilderness that goes all the way back to the Canadian border. So it's just a vast ecology of Bigfoot territory in his mind. And so he's like, I feel like this area needs to be studied more. And the thing is, there's about every month there's like 2 to 3 really big sightings that come out of that area. So it's kind of like the Pacific Northwest of New York.
Yeah, it's like you'd be surprised when you hear that, right? New York, you think New York is just that big city, Manhattan, Brooklyn.
Right.
Just like you hear Utah, you think, oh, it's just LDS people. It's just the Great Salt Lake and a bunch of prairie land or something. There really is a lot of different stuff out there. I mean, even Michigan, right? Michigan is, if you go east again, close to the Canada stuff and the lakes up there, it's gorgeous mountainscape, and there's so many sightings up there as well. So yep. You just never know. I mean, I think that's so cool that there's sightings everywhere.
Yeah, and I think that those kind of stories are some of the most credible when they come from, not that everyone's not credible, because in my mind, everybody's credible, right? Anybody who can come to me with a story and says, hey, this is what happened to me, I'll believe them, and I think everyone's credible. But I think the skeptic out there is going to be like, hey, if it's coming from a police officer or a doctor or, scientist, those kind of people, they'll
definitely
be like,
more credible.
It just somehow skyrockets it and puts it on a different level.
Well, because they're putting their life on the line to even say it, you know?
Right.
One thing I can say, or I guess let's just be on the real here. I have a question to ask you, Rome. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that Bigfoot are caught on the outskirts, like that interview I had with Brent, my coworker? I mean, it's on the outskirts of society, and they're watching society from the outside. I wonder if there's like some kind of contract or something like that they had with the government. And it makes me wonder, why don't they come into the city and wreak havoc? They could come in, steal your girl, take some money, and take your car and just drive off. And you know,
well, I know there's been stories like that. I think that they do come around. They're much more night people than we are. I'm sure they're out during the day because we've had a lot of sightings, videos, all that kind of stuff, right, during the day. But I think primarily they're out at nighttime. And you know, I bet you anything, if you're somewhat close to a mountain or somewhat close to a vast forest area, if you walked out at 3 a.m, I bet you anything you could be in their territory. They could be walking around. So I don't know. I don't know if there's a contract. I just think that one thing that I think is very strange is that so a lot of eyewitnesses, when they encounter them, will say that they got this mind speak idea, and the mind speak was like, oh, you foolish human, you shouldn't have seen me. They get that vibe, you know, where it's like,
damn, I'm caught.
Damn, I got caught. You shouldn't have seen me.
And like, you're lower than me, lower right, than now exactly. In some way.
And so I don't understand what that's all about. There's some reason that they're not wanting to be associated with us. And I know that we can be destructive and stuff as a race, but I really don't think it's that. I think there's more to it.
I mean, they probably could just be looking at the things that we do, you know, the warmongering, the against each other. Maybe different Bigfoots really aren't against each other. And so when they see humans going against each other as nations and stuff, maybe there's some question marks, like, can we trust this group at all, period, you know,
well, if they're the same point. Race. Think about this. Think if they were let's say they're with our ancient cultures, right, the old original Native American cultures and stuff. Let's say they lived harmoniously together. All of a sudden they start seeing these advancements happening super quickly, right? Like all of a sudden we're getting guns, and all of a sudden we're getting
slashing into each other, and we're getting guns.
And everything happens so quickly. I mean, think about how fast it's happened in our lifetimes, all the things that have come up. Maybe that's why they're scared. Maybe it's like, wow, there's a lot of changes that have happened, and dangerous changes.
And a lot of it's just fought over coin.
Right.
They probably see that we're just fighting over a piece of gold or a piece of land, and I don't think they're jiving on that, you know?
I
think that could be part of it, that they're just like, man, this group is just not, we just can't be associated, guys, because our kids need to learn the ways of the culture, and they need to do this and do it this way, and they can't be associated. I bet you the kids, it seems like the young kid Bigfoots, wow, I can't speak, they tend to really get intrigued by humans, so they come closer to us than most of the older ones, from what I've heard.
Yeah, I think a lot of times a lot of these experiences that people have is with juveniles, because they're a lot more curious. I think that it's rare that you run into a wise Bigfoot, like an old one, you know, sort of an elder, because the elders are a lot more cautious. So, but yeah, I think that's the case.
I mean, sure. Brent's story that I told you guys with the mulleted Bigfoot, he's probably an older Bigfoot, and that's why he's like, I see you. Just leave me alone. I'll leave you alone. Let's just be chill.
Right. That whole experience made me wonder if that's happened before, where it's like, I've seen humans before.
You guys don't hurt me. I don't hurt you. He's been seeing humans since the 60s or something like that, and just been dealing with it, you know?
Yeah. But he also seems like a rogue Bigfoot. So what's his name? Tom Seawood from up north, Canada. He's one of the First Nations people.
Yeah.
He's really cool. You should look him up. He's on Facebook and stuff. He's one of my favorite guys when it comes to the Bigfoot scene. There's certain things that I disagree with him on, but at the same time, he's got so much knowledge, and a lot of it comes from his First Nations background and stuff. But one of the things he brings up is he talks about rogue Sasquatches, you know, and how there are those that go rogue, that, you know, want to go away from the tribe, and those are the ones that you have to watch out for. There's something wrong with them. They're angry. It's like rogue wolves, you know.
It's like the black sheep uncle in your family. Like, there really is that, even in American in culture in general, in human culture.
Yeah,
we have these people that go rogue, right? There's people in government that go rogue. There's people in society that go rogue. And it's not always just a mental case. It's like, look, I'm sick of this.
They just reached their breaking point, type of thing. Yeah. So that's dangerous.
I think that's one of those things that a lot of Bigfoot have in common with humans. And I think there is some kind of human tie, because they do act a lot like us a lot of the time in certain instances like that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to see people. I'm good. I'm going to do my own thing. And I'm going to wreak havoc while I do it, because I hate society and I hate people or whatever, right?
Right.
So.
And I don't even think they're that territorial. I think what they are is that one thing that comes up a lot is fishermen and bow hunters. So bow hunters see a lot of things because they're moving like the animals, because they have to be quiet and stuff like that. So because they're moving like the animals, they catch Bigfoot off guard. Fishermen is sort of, I think fish is easy pickings for Bigfoot, and it's a good food source. And so if there's a fisherman there, I think that it causes problems. I think the fishermen get in trouble. They could be in trouble.
Yeah, I think that they see them as a threat. They're kind of like, oh, you're taking my food source.
Exactly. The easy kind.
I can't have you doing that, because that's the only way I survive out here in the midwinter.
Yeah.
The bleak midwinter is a Peaky Blinders line, by the way.
Yes.
So, yeah, like, that's the thing, right? And the bow hunters make a lot of sense, because a lot of the time they're hiding in this big brush.
Right.
And they're very quiet. They're doing the fluid movement. Like,
they move
do.
Like the animals.
Yeah. They move into the animal trails, not the human trails. Whereas gun hunters, they come in on a big ATV. They pull out their gun. They get up on a blind, so the animals all know where they're at already.
Right.
Especially if you're Bigfoot, where you're thinking free thinking like humans do, maybe.
Yep.
So it's crazy to see that, but...
Yeah, and, you know, we have something prepared where there's several interviews that we're going to cover. They're actually video interviews we're going to just play on here from several people from Kentucky. Kentucky is sort of this weird paranormal hotspot, especially when it comes to Bigfoot. And if anybody's ever watched Hellier, the TV show, it was on Amazon, I believe.
I loved it.
Yeah, Greg Newkirk and his crew and stuff, they did this experimentation that was pretty, like, innovative in my mind when it came to paranormal stuff. They were kind of trying to tie it all together, and that was pretty cool. But they were doing Kentucky, and there's something about
Kentucky. There's something about Kentucky. Sorry to cut you off, Rome.
Yeah, no problem.
But also, what you're saying is, like, it's innovative, because aren't we coming to the same conclusion?
Yeah.
That all of this is connected.
Yes.
Alien situations, Bigfoot situations, you know, the rake stories, the different, what is it called, Skinwalker Ranch stuff. Everything's kind of connecting, right?
Right.
Like, why would a UFO show up at Skinwalker Ranch when it's supposed to be skinwalkers?
Right. It's like the last thing we talked about in our last episode, parallel universes, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So it's tying. Every time we come up with a story, there's more questions to it. Every time you research it, there's more questions, because it's tying into some big alternate something that we don't know a lot about yet. It's kind of crazy. Exactly. So we just want to show you guys, we're just going to play some of the audio. Basically, where this all comes from, there's a TikTok account that we're going to go ahead and play. And if you want to go ahead and follow this TikTok account, it's called Kentucky_Bigfoot_LLC. Just look that up. You'll see all these really great interviews with people who have had Bigfoot encounters. And we're just going to play a couple of them because they're pretty cool. They're pretty credible and they're just interesting. So we just want to kind of end this show with, you know, some personal encounters.
Get the show on the road.
All right, so this first one we're going to play is Lyle Blackburn's encounter. Everybody knows who his name. He's very credible in the field. He's written several books and stuff, so I definitely look his name up. But this
what
is
was
his,
it, Wild Hatburn?
Lyle Blackburn.
One of the more memorable and spooky encounters I had was several years ago in the Mercer Bayou area near Falk, Arkansas, home of the legend of Boggy Creek. And myself and a research partner were out there paddling around in the swamp around midnight, which is what we often do, when we heard an eerie howl come over the top of the woods. And we heard this howl about three times, and then it went dead silent. In fact, everything went silent. So eventually we paddled back down the bayou channel to where our tent was. We were camped on this little hill because you've got to camp up because there's alligators in this portion of the bayou. And so no sooner had we got our canoe out of the water and got up on that hill, now we hear this howl coming from right down where the canoe was. And it was just this kind of eerie growl howl thing. And by now we knew, you know, it definitely wasn't coyotes. This wasn't a bear. It wasn't a bird. It wasn't even a weird noise made by a fox or some of the other animals that would be indigenous to this area. And so, you know, your heart races. The hair on the back of your neck stands up. And so I grabbed the flashlight and just sort of ran down this hill and was trying to, you know, get a look at whatever this thing was that presumably had just followed us down the bayou, traveling the creeks, following us. And that's what gave us this really eerie feeling. And then when I got to the bottom of the hill, I couldn't quite see it, but whatever it was just darted off into the woods and then howled again about 25 or 30 yards away. And, you know, it was the rush, the adrenaline of thinking, man, we were this close, you know, this thing was following us, and perhaps we were this close to getting a good view of the Falk monster.
Wow, that's an awesome encounter. I think that Legend of Boggy Creek thing, if you guys want to look it up, it's a pretty interesting storyline in the Bigfoot community.
It's another staple. You know, the Falk, it happened at Falk, Arkansas, and they call it the Falk Monster, and it was Bigfoot, basically, the creature.
It's funny, our brother lives in Arkansas, and we need to just hit it up. I really want to go see.
It's a hot spot.
I mean, it's mountainous, it's beautiful, there's like Buffalo River, looks gorgeous.
They're near the Ozarks, so it's, you know, that's a vast area, you know.
Jason Bateman's over there cleaning money.
Yeah, lots of Bigfoot habitat, you know, food and ecology and stuff for them, so.
We also have another awesome encounter of a man that had a really close encounter with Bigfoot, also in Kentucky, so here's this one as well.
Weekend of this year, and I was sitting on the back porch of my brother-in-law's house, drinking a cup of coffee, and off about 60 yards off to my left, something stepped out of the woods, and I just glanced over at it, and it took two more steps, little quicker steps, and it was about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, round about, but the neighbors had all their lights on, security lights on, so you could see it. It was reddish brown. It was every bit of 8 foot, if not taller, because the grass was probably about 3.5, roughly about 3.5 feet tall, and his hips were above right to the top of the grass. And then it took off at a dead run, and it covered about 180 yards. It covered it in about 5 seconds. You could see the hair on the arms hanging down. They're about 6 inches long. When it was running, it was fluid. It was like it was standing on a railroad track and somebody was just jerking it across both yards as fast as they could. What scared me was how fast he moved. I mean, yes, the size it wasn't bulky like some of these stories talk about. He was built like a athlete, not like a bodybuilder, but he was incredibly big, though, in proportion to his size. What scared me the most was, I just sat there on the porch in shock. I couldn't even move.
So what's interesting about that, you guys, the things that I caught out of this whole experience, just looking at his video, too, if you guys look at the TikTok, you'll see, but he has real fear in his eyes. When he's re-explaining you can tell it's legit.
Yep.
But also, dude, the Bigfoot was running in that 3 feet, 4 feet grass. I know why he was running. There's chiggers in that grass, dude. You're getting bit up like a storm. You better get out of there. That's why the Bigfoot was running. No, I'm just kidding. But
you know, it always shocks me the way they describe how he said it was like almost like it was on like a railroad track. Like, you know, like when you're doing a movie scene.
I loved that description. Yeah, finally, somebody explained it to really understand it.
Right, you're
really
doing a movie scene. It's almost like they float. It feels like they float, where it's just it's on a track, you know? Really strange, and they move so quickly, way faster than we can even anticipate, which means they're great hunters. If they're too fast for us, they're too fast for all the animals out there, too.
I mean, you've seen how fast a deer just darts back and forth and jumps over massive fences and things like that. If deer is one of their main food sources and they don't have a gun, then they got to be beast mode, and they are. It's crazy to see it, but...
All right, well, that's about what we wanted to cover on this part one. Bigfoot is such a big topic that we have so much to cover. Probably have, 10 episodes in front of us when it comes to Bigfoot. So, stay tuned. We definitely have a lot more to cover on this, but definitely a lot more eyewitness accounts we're going to read. We're definitely going to cover some more of the bigger topics like Patty Gimlin, Ape Canyon, all the different ones that are just really, really prevalent. But, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Definitely there's some interesting stuff in here, and we hope that maybe you learned a few things. And if you have some stuff to share with us, we'd love to hear it. Please share it with supernaturalstation5@gmail.com, including your stories. If you have stories of Bigfoot, we'd love to hear those stories.
You know what's kind of cool, you guys, is like this subject is big. The reason it's big is because look at all the stuff we just described about Bigfoot. And eyewitness accounts, stuff that I've heard, stuff that we've gathered so much information, right? And even somebody like Les Stroud that's been involved in this, he does the show called... Is it Survivor Man?
Survivor Man, yeah.
So he does a show, and he's been out in the wilderness doing all kinds of stuff for such a long time, and he hasn't dealt with Bigfoot too much. And then all of a sudden he did, and now he believes it, because he's seen it.
He had his own experiences, and you know what's cool about him too is, I'm glad you brought him up, he's been doing... survival rescue stuff, like people that are missing, he's trying to find them now. He's doing that now. That's which awesome. Is super cool.
That's a huge step up from what he was doing already.
Yeah.
I loved watching him, and that's the cool thing is like somebody like him, right? He trusts the science so much that somebody like him believing in it and then going to meet with Jeff Meldrum in Idaho, that's a professor that really delves into the physics of their body and things like that.
Yeah, he's about the locomotion, the movement of the feet. You know, he's a feet guy, so he's really studying the prints and
so
stuff.
At this point, it's not... Guys, I mean, you can take what you want from this, but it's not like Slender Man or something where it's just like a story, right? It's not just a scary story, Bella.
No, it's so much evidence. It's so big, and it's like literally you can ask a neighbor. Like literally just look at your next person next to you, and they might have a story because it's so prevalent. It happens often,
So that's why we're going to cover more of this story as we keep going. It's our favorite subject because it seems so legit. It is legit. I saw one. I'll tell you that story in the next episode again. Yeah. But it's just one of those things, right? So,
we might quote our friends from Bigfoot Terror in the Woods, another great podcast you should listen to. W.J. Sheehan and his brother KJ. Definitely listen to their podcast. They have a great podcast, and they talk about Bigfoot primarily, and there's a lot of really great information that comes out of their podcast. But I will quote them in saying that you should always carry more gun than you think you're going to need if you go into the woods.
Exactly.
Because you don't know what these things are going to do or what they're capable of, and it's just good to be protected, and we have that right here.
And if you look at almost all the podcasters, the big prevalent podcasters, and I'll throw Paranormal Portal in there, Brent, I'll throw everybody, Jim Harold, different people.
Yeah.
They all talk about Bigfoot as if it's real at this point. Everything else is like, okay, there's a little speculation, there's a little this and that, but it almost seems like, Bigfoot's real.
I'm glad you brought that up because there was I think it was Portland or maybe it was Oregon or Washington. There was a National Forest Database brochure that was official from the government. Do you remember this?
Official. There's pictures you can find somewhere online.
It's official from the government, and basically it was a government brochure.
It was a military
that was produced, And military.
There was a military map to show the wildlife. To talk
about the wildlife that exists, and Bigfoot was listed on there. They had deer, elk, cougar, bear, raccoon, badger, all the things you'd imagine. Yeah. And at the very bottom, there was Bigfoot.
And it was under the predator section. It was like, you may run into the bear, you may run into the cougar, you may run into the badger, or the wolverine.
Or the Sasquatch.
And you may run into the Sasquatch. So they put that on their government brochure, you guys. So you think that we're definitely being played.
Yep.
And military know it too.
But, you know, our ultimate goal on this podcast was to get some information out there that maybe you haven't heard, to pique your interest, to pique your mind, to get your wheels rolling. And then also, you know, just to kind of help spread awareness to this topic. You know, we want to hear stories. And if you have a story, please share it with us. But overall, you know, this subject is so big that there's so much to cover. We've got several episodes coming on this topic because it's just too big.
Well, even if you save a life, like one person going out into the Rocky Mountains as an example, right? You go to Colorado or something like that. You're hiking a terrain you've never been to before. You run into a Bigfoot. If somebody listened to this podcast and they said, okay, don't show your teeth, that's one good sign.
Exactly.
Walk the other way. You know, don't do the things you do with a cougar or something like that. It's not going to work. It's not the same thing.
Right.
You know?
Right. I'm glad you brought that up. I hope that we could help in some way, because if you run into these things, you know, they're unpredictable. So we hope we could help with that. And, you know, overall, we're thankful for you listening, and listenership is what keeps us going and what helps us improve the show. So thank you so much for being here. Jaren,
share it with your families, you guys. Share this podcast. We really want to get more stories. Eventually, we want to get some live interviews with people. Have some awesome conversations. We have some people lined up already, but we definitely want to, we have a lot more coming, you guys, and we ain't stopping. This is one of those things we really enjoy doing. And Friday night, what should we be doing? Oh, let's go to a bar. Let's go have some drinks. Let's go. I'm a single guy. I could be hooking up with a cute girl right now, but you know what I'm doing?
Let's do a podcast.
I'm doing a podcast because I love this stuff, you guys. Just really cool stuff. We're going to throw you guys for a loop, do different things, and just get your mind racing.
Thank you so much for listening, and we appreciate your listenership. Definitely stay tuned for the next episode of Supernatural Station. Remember to have your boarding pass for the next train.
And que tenga buen día. Hasta noche.
Going up these days, it feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, stain, tools, flooring, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online from May 8th through May 14th. Not a member? Join MyLowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.